We may say that we are going to set a goal or goals. Most people set new goals every year, and the majority of people have forgotten the ones that they set last year. Most goals that people set are temporal, and probably the most common goals have to do with their health. I'm going to lose some weight, exercise more, eat less sugar or carbs. Others may set financial goals. I'm going to put more money in the bank. I'm going to invest into the right market and hopefully make some money. Maybe we set goals in our relationships, like I'm going to be nicer to my husband or wife or children. I'm going to be more positive in my conversations or not put others down. There are so many goals that are good goals, but are we making spiritual goals? Are we making spiritual goals? This morning I'm going to use the word goal as an acronym, and we will see what there is in the scriptures that every Christian could have as their spiritual goals. The first letter in goal, of course, is G. G stands for God. We as Christians must be committed to God. It amazes me how lightly we take God. As I think about my relationship with my Heavenly Father, I'm disgusted how very little, or how much, I should say, how much I take God for granted. From the very beginning, God created us to have an intimate relationship with Himself, which we lost due to sin in the Garden of Eden. We recently went through dispensationalism and learned how God at different times has worked through different people to bring people back to Himself, in which we continuously turned our backs on Him in spite of all that He has done for us. The dispensation which we are now in is the church age, or the grace age, or the age of grace. We have the complete knowledge of what God has done by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. We know that it took a perfect Lamb of God to provide a sacrifice, a substitutionary atonement, so that we may be restored to the Father. They were looking, as we saw in weeks past, the Jews were looking to the coming Messiah. We look back at the Messiah. We know that the Savior has come. We know why He had to suffer and that He did suffer. We understand the importance of the resurrection. We have the complete knowledge of what God has done in sending His Son to bring us back to Him. I just posted a video on Facebook recently of a singer named Carmen. In his song, America Again, he says this, "For Jesus Christ is coming back again in all His glory, and every eye shall see Him on that day. That's why a new anointing of God, God's power, is coming upon us to boldly tell the world that they must be saved. Because astrology," now listen to this, "because astrology won't save you, your horoscope won't save you. The Bible says all these things are a farce. If you're born again, you don't need to look to the stars for your answers, because you can look to the very one who made those stars." Do we believe that? Every time I hear that, I get a shot of adrenaline rushing through my veins. We don't need to look to astrology. We don't need to look to the stars for our answers, because we can look to the very one who made those stars. Our God, our Heavenly Father, is the one who made those stars. Yet, do we think about the things pertaining to God? This God who is sovereign, He's all-knowing, He's omnipotent, He's all-powerful, He's omnipresent, He's everywhere at all times. We say we believe this, but so little do we give attention to Him. Listen to the writer of Psalm 139, verse 17, in regards to God's thoughts toward us. "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them." This is God, His thoughts toward us. Psalm 40, verse 5. "Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." God continuously thinks about each and every one of us. Listen to God's heart concerning Israel, which is no different than that which is true of every Christian today. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are continuously before me. When I first read this verse years and years ago, I thought of the Lord Jesus Christ and the nail prints in his hands. And when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. I am not saying that this is what is meant by this verse. I'm not saying that this is a prophecy of Jesus going to the cross and having nail prints in his hands. But the truth of the matter is, when he sent his Son for us. We are continuously on the mind of God. How often do we think about God? The spiritual person thinks about God and the things of God. In Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about the struggles with sin and concludes in the second part of 7:25. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now listen to what Paul says a few verses down in chapter 8, verses 5-8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. What Paul is saying here is that we will never be able to live a life without sin because we are still in the flesh. But if we are Christians, then we should be dwelling or thinking on the things of God. If we are Christians, we should be dwelling or thinking on the things of God, not just on Sunday. Let's continue a little further in the book, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, verse 2. Now listen. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See what Paul is continuously saying in all these verses. Paul is talking about the mind of the believer. Renewing the mind is hard work, and it is the responsibility of each and every one of us. The verse doesn't say that God is going to renew your mind, but that we are to renew our mind. When I was first saved, I remember praying and asking God, Lord, never let me have a day that I don't think about you. Lord, always help me to remember you, to have you continuously before my face. Renewing the mind, dwelling on God and the things of God is hard work and will take some commitment on our part, but will be worth it in the end of every day. G stands for God. O stands for others. We need to be committed to others. One of the things that breaks a pastor's heart is when a believer calls the church to see if it is the right church for them, they'll ask this question. What do you have to offer me? What does the church have for me? I've heard others say that they don't go to a certain Bible study or they don't go to Sunday school because they don't get anything out of it. That kind of thinking isn't other-centered, it's self-centered. Let us consider a few verses that are common to most. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as the day approaches. Twice we see one another. When we gather as believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, we do so in order to edify one another and living for the Lord. That's why we come together. To do our part. God has given each believer at least one gift. The gift chapters are recorded in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. But listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen just means, so be it. One another. We have spent some time in 1 Corinthians and have seen that those in Corinth were being prideful of their gifts, and Paul had to rebuke them, telling them that the gifts were given not for self-gratification, but for the edification of others. When we are looking for a church, let us look at what we, not at what we can get, but what we can give. I had a friend who told me one time that he doesn't go to church because he doesn't get much out of it. My advice to him was, then go and see what you can put into it. Go and see what you can put into it. You know, I've taught in many places, and I've taught where there were doctors. Not doctors in the medical field, doctors in the Bible field. And I've been very intimidated with their presence. But you know, it can be very helpful with a person like that in the room in case you run into a situation or a question that you're not prepared for. If you know more than the teacher, great. You'll have more to offer or to assist when needed. I also think that it is good to have other mature, knowledgeable believers in the room because they can ask questions that others may be intimidated to ask. There are so often that people won't ask questions because of fear of what others may think of them. Many, many times I have sat in Sunday schools and I've just asked questions just to go a little deeper maybe. Or maybe I just knew that it was a question. And a lot of times you don't even think about these things because you've been teaching for so long. There's so much that I've taken for granted in the past that people knew that people just don't know. And it's good to have a person in the room that will say, hey, you're not thinking about this question. You're starting them here when they need to be here. Sometimes it's good to have a person, and everybody needs to be in a Sunday school. And if you're beyond the teaching, then assist the teacher. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others as being better than himself. Let each of you not look out only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. It's not what I can get, but what I can give. G is for God. O is for? A is for ambassadors. Do you know that the only reason why God left us here was to share the love of God with others? 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. An ambassador is a representative. We are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has commissioned us with the responsibility to proclaim the gospel with those we come in contact with. He has commissioned us to proclaim the gospel with those we come in contact with. You know what the Great Commission is because we have talked about it almost every single time we're together. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Reconciliation means to mend the relationship. God has given his children the responsibility of telling others how to have a restored relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. To reconcile, to bring back, to restore. Only 2% of believers, born-again believers, have ever told anyone about Jesus Christ. Yet in Acts 8, chapter 8, verse 4, it says this, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Who is it that Paul is referring to when he says they's or those? Verse 1, At that time, a great persecution arose against the church. This is just after Stephen was martyred for his faith. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was in Jerusalem or at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Every believer was proclaiming the gospel everywhere they went. The only ones that stayed behind were the apostles and devout men for the burial of Stephen. I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many people have shared the Lord Jesus Christ with anyone in the past week or the past month? How many would say that we need to do a much better job in being an ambassador for our Lord Jesus Christ? Let us be committed as ambassadors. We need to be committed as ambassadors. G is for God. O is for others. A is for ambassadors. L is for a learner. Do you know that the word disciple means learner? That's what the word disciple means. It means learner. We are called to learn. My life's verse is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We're at school at Appalachian Bible College, and we all had to go up before those in the auditorium, and we had to go up and give our personal favorite verse or our life's verse, and this was mine. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. It is one thing to read the Bible, and we should, but it is quite another to study the Bible, and we better. How are we going to know how to live if we are not diligent in our studying of the Word of God? 1 John 1:4, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There are many today that cannot defend their faith against the cults like the Jehovah Witnesses or the Mormons. Most Christians can't defend their stance in regards to their differences with the Catholics or any other denomination. Why do we immerse? Why do we believe that Mary isn't sinless? I was joking around with the kids at Awana one time, and I asked them to turn to the book of Hezekiah. I got that look from Ryan. There's no book, Hezekiah. But you know, the truth of the matter is that many Christians wouldn't know whether there's a book, Hezekiah, or not. We need to know the Bible. We need to know the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The right interpretation leads to the right application. Jesus said that the only way for them, or us, to be sanctified, set apart, was to be done through the Word of God, which is the only source of truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Set them apart by your truth. Make them distinct and different than everybody else in the world by your truth, the Word of God. How do we know how to live? We don't live the Christian life because it seems right or good to us at the time, but because the Word of God informs us that the way we are to live life is good and right despite how we feel. Let me say that again. We don't live the Christian life because it seems right or good to us at the time, but because the Word of God informs us that the way we live or the way we are to live life is good and right despite the way we feel. The concept of studying the Bible is intimidating to most, but it doesn't have to be. I have heard and shared with some that there was an author who wrote every single book that he ever wrote 15 minutes at a time. 15 minutes at a time. He sat down each day 15 minutes and added 15 minutes worth of work to his book. When we study the Bible, all we have to do is study it a few minutes at a time. Studying the Bible is a lifelong endeavor. No one becomes a scholar overnight. No one knows the entire Bible in their lifetime. But it's an endeavor that we must commit ourselves to do. We must be learners. The only way we will become students of the Word is through our commitment to be learners. G is for God. Let us be committed to renewing our mind and think upon God and the things pertaining to Him. Let us be consumed in our thoughts of God. Let us wake up every morning, good morning, Lord. Let us think as we walk through the life, what is it that God would have me to do? How is it that God would have me to act? What is it that God, and how is it that God would have me to think? Always for others, let us esteem others as being more important than ourselves. We need to put others before ourselves. Gifts were given to us for the purpose of edifying others, not gratifying self. Christianity is other-centered, not self-centered. Let us consider others. A is for ambassador. The last thing Jesus instructed the disciples to do was to make disciples of all the nations. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, so let us endeavor to reconcile the lost to God as his ambassadors. And L is for learner. To be a learner, a student, is hard work. But with the hard work comes great reward. There is nothing more gratifying to know the Word of God, to study it for yourself, to take a stand and live according to what you have studied, accordingly. I believe that we can all do better in all of these areas if we want to. All we have to do is be committed to the goal. Let's pray.